Good morning. It's 8:54 a.m. on January the 12th, 2014. Today is the 7th anniversary of the day that I sat down to write Quarter Share. It was right about this time. On the first mile. I must have been cranking. Well, I got a tailwind today. It is windy. Oh my God, it's windy. I don't have many windy days like this, so you can probably hear the wind rattling my hood. Right at the moment, it is literally at my back and blowing me forward. So anyway, yeah, 7 years and about 4 or 5 hours ago now, I sat down to write Quarter Share. I wrote, "Call me Ishmael." Yeah, I know, but in this case, it's really my name. And everything that I've done since then has happened, in the public sphere anyway, has happened since I wrote those words. I was looking for a couple of hundred listeners. I've got at least 50,000 now. 50,000 people have downloaded the last episode of Owner's Share. 80,000 have downloaded the first episode of Quarter Share. And that went up 6 weeks from now. February 19th, 2007, I think, is the anniversary of the first publication date of the first episode of Quarter Share. It was mid-February anyway, I know it was. I was trying to get it out for the 17th, which is our wedding anniversary, as a surprise for my wife. I missed by a couple of days because of some tagging issues, some technical issues, things that are not too surprising. But 7 years ago, today, before then, the people who knew about me were the people who worked with me online in the education community. That's really where my roots were. The reason I was looking at podcast fiction to begin with was to look at how we could use podcast delivery, RSS delivery of attachments, to provide rich media content to people who lived in rural places that didn't have broadband access. In 2007, most of America still didn't have broadband. I think we went over 50% having access to broadband sometime in 2008 or 2009. I could be wrong, it could have been before that, I don't know for sure. But I know it's only been recent. I know that when I first put the books out, that following summer, Evoterra called me on the phone, which I thought was interesting, because I had this vision of Evoterra as something very different than what Evoterra really is, and I had it all wrong, of course, but Evo was a really good guy. Not that I thought he was a bad guy to begin with, but anyway, he called and said, "So, why don't you publish these as print-on-demand books?" And I'm like, "No, I don't think so." "Well, yeah, Lulu, you can put them out on Lulu and maybe sell a few, attract a different market, make a bill on your website." So. And I had this vision of the typical Vanity Press publication horror story, cases of books in my garage or in my closet waiting for somebody to sell them to, and investing a lot of money in inventory and not having much to show for it on the other side. So yeah, there's that whole thing going on, and I thought, well, and I looked at it. But the cheapest I could sell a print-on-demand book in those days was like $18.95. And I'm like, no, that's not the market I'm looking for. Of course, it was trade book size. It was 6x9. It was standard Lulu. Trade back from the 2007-2008 time frame. And the problem was it was just too expensive. And the distribution was up to me. It's like, no. No, that's not how I want to work. So I didn't. And later, when it got to be the point where I was getting 10 or 15 emails a week, where can I buy your book? And the answer was, well, you can't, because I'm thinking about maybe someday pitching it to a publisher, because in those days that was what you did. I wasn't giving it away. I didn't give it away to anybody. I wouldn't give away PDFs. I wouldn't give text versions of it to anybody. Because I had this idea that I was protecting it for potentially future publication someday later, perhaps. And then 2009, it got to be really too much. And I was like, all right, tell you what. I'll publish it in 2010. I'll publish a book in 2010. You'll be able to buy it in 2010. It's going to take me some while to get the things together. And so I started the query go-round and did the query thing for a very short period of time. And then I had a talk with J.C. Hutchins. And J.C. Hutchins had some very sharp words for me. And they were the right words. They were the words I needed to hear. And what he said was, what do you want for your writing? What do you want from your writing? What do you want to get out of your writing? What do you want your writing to do? And until you figure that out, don't do anything. Because figure that out first, and then you'll be ahead. And he was right. So, I remember I was getting my hair cut, and came out of the barbershop and talked to him. And I was standing there in a parking lot of a strip mall thinking, what do I want for my writing? And the answer is, well, what do I get if I get an agent? And I started working through the numbers. I started working through the facts. In those days, the average advance was $5,000 for an unknown genre author. It turns out to be pretty much still going advance. I was offered an advance somewhat lower than that for a 6-book set from one of the majors not too long ago, which I turned down. And that 90% of them never earn out. Now, to do the math on this, what earning out means is that you make enough in royalties to pay back the advance. Advance is actually a loan that the publisher makes to you in advance of royalties. So usually so that you have a little bit of money to write the next book. In many cases, it was you write the first 3 chapters in an outline and then you send that off to be shopped around, and then they give you an advance to finish writing the book. And of course, that's not how I work, so the advance is sort of like, okay, fine. But the roulette wheel of publication, the craps table of publication, is the numbers are with the house. Most gambling, the numbers are with the house, otherwise the house couldn't stay in business. But the point being that $5,000, most 90% of authors don't earn $5,000 over the lifetime of their book. And if you don't earn the advance back, then you're unlikely to get a second contract to that publisher with that name. So writing as Nathan Lowell, if I didn't earn my St. Martin's contract back, if I didn't earn my advance back, St. Martin's wouldn't give me another contract for later work. Even if the later work was better, or even if the later work was perhaps a more saleable or whatever. As soon as I don't make the earn the advance back, I'm pretty much dead. That's the way it was. And as far as I know, that's still the way it is. Now, what does 5,000 books mean, $5,000 mean in terms of sales? Well, a lot of authors make about $1 a sale. Some earn as little as 50 cents a sale. But at $1 a sale, that means you have to sell 5,000 books. Now, if you don't sell 5,000 books, you don't make $5,000, which means you don't earn back. And only one in 10 authors sold 5,000 books. So for me, to make $5,000, to sell 5,000 books, selling 5,000 books sounds like an awful lot of books, but selling $5,000, monk pull, particularly when this new ebook thing was coming along, particularly since CreateSpace had come online, what was it called before, Bookshare or something. Where I got to keep most of the royalty, in fact, I got to keep almost all the royalty after I took out production and channel distribution costs. It became clear to me that, you know, selling $5,000 worth of books would be relatively straightforward. So why did I need an advance that probably wasn't going to earn out? So I started looking at a couple of self-publishing communities, and long story short, I got tied up with Ryden. And Ryden was very good for me for the first year, and then things started going a bit wonky in terms of conflicts in Ryden's time with the Orbit deal that Mike Sullivan was doing for his Rhaera Chronicles. Now, Mike was doing really well. He was doing quite well on his own. He figured it would cost him $1 million to take the Orbit deal, and I think he probably did. He's made some good money. He got a good advance, or a relatively good advance, and it must have been good enough that they were willing to do some promotion for him, because they did do a fair amount of promotion, which is not typical. And they turned down his next book. I don't know what he's doing with the rest of them now. He's got a new book out. But, so, in spite of the fact that he made them some money, apparently it wasn't enough, or they didn't like the product, but he's trying to work around the do not compete clauses by offering the books as pre-orders on Kickstarter, which is, okay, fine. Point being, the target for selling books was $5,000, and I did that in, well, not the first 6 months, I have to be honest. First 6 months were kind of tough. That was the Balticon, when we did the rollout at Balticon with Quarter Share and PG Holyfield, and Patrick McLean and I did a little thing with reading each other's books in a live read during a launch event, which was kind of fun. That was kind of a blast back in the early days of my participation at Balticon. One of those things that you wish you'd recorded, but at the time thought, oh no, nobody's going to want to listen to party noise. Little did we know. Because we had no idea what we were going to do at the party. We just thought, well, we'd have people in, we'd do some snacks, we'd do some chat, we'd have some fun, that would be it. Yeah, right. Anyway, so I think I sold 1,000 units of Quarter Share over the first 4 months. Because we posted it in May, and we sold some, we didn't sell a lot, but we sold some at Balticon. I sold some at the table. And donated a few to the literature auction and stuff. Then we also did... So in the Kindle autumn of October of 2010 was the first month things started really taking off. 2010, the autumn of 2010 was when Conrath was making big splashes with the independent publishing, and Barry Eisler had turned down $500,000 advance on his next book, and there was a bunch of other stuff that was happening in the indie world. And that was also the point where it's estimated that K. Kindles had reached 16% of the... I'm trying not to fall down on the ice on this across the road. Kindles had reached 16% of the heavy reader market. Those people who read a book a week or more. Because Kindle sales started taking off. That was when Amanda Hawking started taking off. That's when John Locke started taking off. That's when everybody started taking off. That was the first month I sold 1,000 units. And it was just one book. Mike Sullivan sold 1,000 units of one book. I think he sold in total 8,000, 9,000 units in November. And then 10,000 units in December. So, but I was selling one book, two books. I think I had two books by then. And I sold 1,000 units of each book in 1 month. And that was big. That was, for Ryden, that was almost unheard of. They had done it once before with one title that had just released just before Christmas the previous year. And that was the first time in the history of the company that they'd sold 1,000 books. And then in October 2010, two or three of us were selling 1,000 books a month per title. And that was the beginning. That was the beginning. After that, selling 1,000 books in a month was not unusual. Right now, I'm selling more than 1,000 books a month. I'm selling probably three times that across all of the titles. None of the titles, except the most current one, are selling 1,000 books a month. That's okay. I don't need to sell 1,000 books of each title each month. I've got 7 books out now. With the 8th book soon to come out, I got Hermit put into shape yesterday. Finally formatted. I got all HTML in place. And today, this morning, when I get back from the walk, which is not too far away, I'll be loading it into Sigil to see what it looks like as an EPUB. And breaking it into chapters and building the table of contents and fixing up the CSS, etc. Now, it should be a relatively straightforward process from here, famous last words, but I've done this enough in the last year that I'm pretty sure I know how it works and I know what the most common problems are and how to fix them. Oh my goodness, that's black. Holy cow. I just looked up to the north. The wind is coming at me straight out of my face, so I've had my head down, visor of my cap to protect my face. But there's a there's a really black cloud to the north. The sky is, it looks like there's a, it looks like there's a thunder shower that way, or tornado or something. It is black, black, black. Holy cow. Anyway, I'll have to look and see when I get home what the weather patterns look like. So yeah, after that, the rest was history. I went, was it 2012? Eighteen and a half minutes on the second half. Not bad, not bad. Yeah, I think it was 2012 when I lost my job this summer and I became a full-time author. So 18 months as a full-time author. It was later that fall that I said no more teaching because I couldn't afford to take the time or the mental energy. And today I've got three books out that weren't published when I fired Ryden. And fourth one coming out. And at some point I'll get Ownershare out. I just gotta get it back from the editor. But for the moment, I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day. Thanks you all, thanks to you all for staying with me for these many days, for the ups and the downs. And let's hope for more ups and downs next year, eh? All right. Tomorrow's another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.